The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Raj thinks I'm going to talk about the Lakers and the Heat. Let me give you a little real straight talk. I'm exhausted. I am exhausted right now. I did not get a lot of sleep last night. And when I was a kid, I used to hear local sports pundits in New York. They would complain in the tabloids. They'd be on local sports talk shows about how late the games are on. And I was a kid at that time thinking, shut up. No one cares about your schedule. Stop complaining so you don't sleep so much that night. I loved it. Night sports could go on all night when I was younger, as far as I was concerned. I used to get out. I didn't get to watch a lot of TV at times, but I could always watch. No, it's not even true. I could always listen to at least sports on the radio. This is how strict my mother was at a certain point. I'd have to listen to the Yankees games and stuff on the radio. That's how I got into radio, like listening to Howard Stern and Art Rust Jr. talking sports in New York. But anyway, I used to think I was so annoyed every time people in the media would complain about how late games were. But now I'm in the media, and I'm complaining about it. It's on too late. And just my luck, the Yankees played the longest 9-inning game in the history of Major League Baseball, which extends now not past just this century or the previous century, the 20th century, but extends into the 19th century. We're in our third century of Major League Baseball, of organized Major League Baseball, and that was the longest 9-inning game of all time. At a certain point, I cut it off. I'm watching it on my phone in bed. I'm thinking, yeah, I got to go to sleep. But then, of course, they win it in the bottom of, in the bottom of the ninth, but score they're down a run, they tie, they're down a run, they tie, they go ahead. And I'm so amped up after they win, even though I'm exhausted, I can't go to sleep. So now I'm exhausted all day today. All day today. There it is. Good old Aaron Judge. I know, poor me. Boy, that Clint Frazier at-bat was brutal. Three pitches. All right, listen. I know this. No one cares about baseball nationally. Like right now, people in New York are going, oh, it's great, he's talking about baseball. No one cares about baseball nationally. All you care about is the team in your home market, right? And baseball's exploited that and wrung every cent from the local markets. But as a result, nationally, people don't have much interest. Like right now, I just talked about the Yankees, right? And they played the Indians. In New York and Cleveland, people are excited right now who like baseball. The rest of the country doesn't care. You care about basketball and football. And so do I. So, you know, at least if it's a team not in my market. And so let's get to the more important situation here. And that's the Lakers and the Heat. All the storylines coming into this one. They both basically romped through the playoffs. I mean, the Heat played one more game than the Lakers, right? But the Lakers win four out of five. Like, they win every series. They gentlemen sweep every series. Usually, though, in game one, LeBron, and this goes even to the start of the regular season, right? Kawhi's trolling LeBron. Kawhi's in his market. Will LeBron accept the defensive assignment? Who's better? Kawhi trolled him. First, Kawhi let him know, I'm not coming to join you. I'm coming to compete against you. Then Kawhi trolled him as the reigning finals MVP. And then game one, he outplayed him to start the season. Outplayed him, and LeBron didn't look like he wanted it. And on Christmas Day, the same thing happened. But I said this after game one about LeBron, and I was crowing about it. See, Kawhi is the best now, because that was my prediction. That was my assessment. LeBron having missed a lot of last season to injury, and his team missing the playoffs for the first time, and he getting older, and no one ever playing that deep into their career. I just scratched my back, and on a simulcast, you can see it. If I was on the radio, I could, without the simulcast, I could pick my nose, do whatever I want. So it kills me about a simulcast. But anyway, LeBron misses the playoffs and all that stuff, so I'm like, okay, maybe he's past it now. In fact, I was declaring he was, that Kawhi was now the best. And on Christmas Day, again, big nationally televised game, big matchup. Kawhi does it again, and LeBron doesn't want it. The one thing I said back then, to my credit, you see, Raj, I deserve credit, even when I get it wrong, because in a deeper sense, I get it right. The point is, I did point out the one thing about LeBron is early on in the season, and in even playoff series, he sometimes doesn't look like the best version of himself, because what he's actually doing is diagnosing not even the other team, unless it's a playoff series. He's diagnosing his team. He's seeing, what do I have to work with? What do we have to work on? How can I lead this group of guys to the promised land? Maybe not to win the actual championship when the West is, you know, like if the super team in the West is there with the Warriors with KD, but at least to get them to the finals. How do I do that? And that's what he was doing. But and so that applies to the regular season with LeBron, which is why LeBron's teams don't always have the best record in the regular season. Credit AD, who told me on First Take that he challenged LeBron to step it up defensively during the regular season, where LeBron was taking his foot off the gas in recent regular seasons as he aged, so we could have something in the tank for the playoffs, since he's in the finals every year. He's playing more basketball than anyone else, and he can come through in high-leverage moments as the all-time great defender that he is, particularly in high-leverage moments. But AD was like, let's do this all year. Let's set the tone all year like this, and got LeBron, especially early on, to play real defense. And by the way, as a result, the Lakers had the best record in basketball in the Western Conference from wire to wire and romped through the playoffs, right? Still, though, playoff series as not microcosms exactly of regular seasons, but in LeBron's case, sometimes it was like that. It was like he would use game one of the finals to diagnose, in this case, not his own team. He knows his own team by now. Now he's diagnosing the other team. And usually he gets the program down. It's the way Felix Trinidad, Emmanuel Stewart, the late great Detroit gym founder, you know, a Kronk gym founder and one of the greatest trainers ever, and my colleague when we were calling fights at HBO, one of my all-time favorite people to talk about boxing with. Emmanuel Stewart used to say about Tito Trinidad, he's like a killer robot. He puts in the program, and then first couple rounds he figures it out, and then he hits the button and just steamrolls you, right? Well, that's what LeBron seems to me to do sometimes in playoff series. First game he'll take, you know, first early in the season, he's diagnosing his own team. Sometimes doesn't look like the best version of himself. Early in playoff series, he's diagnosing the other team because he knows what he has now. And having diagnosed the other team later in the series, he really steps on it. So the Heat are in trouble because even in game one, they had no shot. And that was when they had a healthy Adebayo, and especially Goran Dragic, who's, I'm reading things, he thinks he's going to play, he's going to try and play. Plantar fasciitis, like, it tore? I know sometimes they say if it tears, it's better than if it's just kind of ripped, because you can do things and then it can heal more cleanly. But it's not like you're going to use it now. I don't see how he does that. So now they're down Goran Dragic, and they lost game one of the series, and it wasn't close? And here's the thing about LeBron James. When you have the best player in the world plus another top five player, as I was telling you all day yesterday, you almost never lose the finals. Almost never does that team lose the finals. Going from way back, you can count on one hand the number of teams who didn't have an MVP player on their team and still won the finals. The Knicks in 72-73 against Wilt and Jerry West. The Pistons in 04 against Shaq and Kobe. This Heat team doesn't quite look like that. And now they're down Goran Dragic, and LeBron already beat him in game one. Kendrick Perkins, that was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less only at Walmart, joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Perk, this series is over, isn't it?
Max, this series was over before the injury started. Let's not sit up here and act like because Goran Dragic went out that the Heat had a chance. I told you yesterday on First Take, I was trying to give you free game without charging you, but you decided not to listen. I told you that the Miami Heat had a zero chance of winning this series. And one of the reasons why was because of their lack of depth at the big position. Coach Frank Vogel did something very smart yesterday. You know what he did? He started Dwight Howard, which made Bam have to match up with Dwight, and then that forced him to put Jay Crowder on Anthony Davis. And the rest was history. Los Angeles Lakers came out like they were in the scrimmage and spotted them a 13-point lead and walked it down like it was nothing.
Yeah, well, look, everything you're saying is true. And I didn't think the Heat were going to win either, but I thought maybe a six-game series. I'm going to be respectful of their heart and call it a five-game series. I really think it's going to be a sweep. But the point is, Perk, that for them to even have a chance, you can call it zero, whatever, a team like the Heat with no MVP-caliber players on it wins the championship maybe once every 10 or 15 years. A team like the Lakers with two MVP-caliber players on it almost never doesn't win the championship. And that's what we're really dealing with. Look at the whole history of the league. Six for Michael and Scottie, five for Kareem and Magic and Worthy, three for Bird and McHale, two for Steph and KD, right? Like, that's the two for LeBron and Wade, five for Kobe, either with Shaq, where it was two, maybe top two players, and then two with Powell, who was underrated, top five or ten for sure, and Kobe an MVP player. That's the type of team that wins the chip. A type of team like the Heat almost never does. But now being down one of their best players for the series, I now agree with you. I put their chances basically at zero. What do you think of this idea, because people really don't have many, how the Heat could beat the Lakers, of continuing to zone up, make the Lakers shoot over the zone, right? Like, make the Lakers beat you from outside.
Well, I like it, but at the end of the day, Max, they still look. They're a championship. This is a championship team. These guys been in the moment, all except for probably Caldwell Pope and Alex Caruso. But you look at Danny Green, right? You can't
Caruso. Are you putting an extra CO in there? It's just Caruso. Caruso.
Hey,
that's an improvement.
You know, I'm not. Hey, Max, you know I'm a country boy from Beaumont, so I'm not good with names, right? So
listen, that's all right. I'm not a country boy from anywhere. I'm from the city boy from New York City. I'm not great with them either, Perk, but go ahead.
So what I'm saying is just look at the shots that they gave them yesterday. I mean, those were pregame warm-up shots. Like, you can't disrespect true professionals. I don't care how horrible the Lakers shoot from the three-point line. They're going to make shots if you disrespect them like that. And then what happened is that I think Eric Spoelstra, you have to just say, you know what, look, I'm just going to have to man up. I'm going to have to figure it out. Look, he had multiple wing defenders, and Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler, Andre Iguodala, and he's going to have to lean on Tyler Hero a little bit more, in my opinion, to run plays through him. He's going to have the ball in his hands. I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Spoelstra start Tyler Hero in game two just to get a extra spark. But, look, the Heat has overachieved. And you know I've been rolling with them goons from Dade County to come out of the East. I think they overachieved this year. No one really expected them to be in the finals. I thought that they would be a dark horse, but – they overachieve, and right now they're just outmatched.
Teams that win the championship without two MVP players, almost like it, maybe it's two or three teams that have done it without even one. Like the Mavs beat the Big Three Heat, but they had Dirk Nowitzki, who was an MVP caliber player. Like, if you don't have at least one dude like that, you're just really trying to do it by committee, you must have your whole committee, and right now the Heat don't. I like this Tyler Hero idea because I think you have to identify a dude who can get his own shot and has upside. Like, take all the offensive players on the team. Who has the most upside? And try to have that dude save you, because if that guy can play MVP caliber ball, it can kind of even things out for a while. But that's a wing and a prayer. Like, and unfortunately, Perk, this happens too often in the NBA, where, and hopefully, I was hoping that this season would be different. There are like 6 to 8 teams who could compete for a championship, maybe 4 or 5 who could legitimately win it. Too often, we get to the finals and we're like, "Yep, those are two or three teams we thought would be there." This year, that's a little different, maybe. And and you already know who's going to win before the series starts. I wish the NBA could figure out a way to try to even that up, because after a thrilling playoffs, Perk, this is kind of anticlimactic.
Well, Max, let's not start saying the NBA need to figure out nothing. All right, the thing that we need to address, the issue that we need to address at hand, is that the Milwaukee Bucks folded. They got beat. The Boston Celtics probably would have been the more exciting matchup. They were the number three seed in the Eastern Conference. They would have been the more exciting. Probably would have gave the Lakers a tougher run because of their star power, their rising star power in Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But the Miami Heat earned the right to be in the finals. They
beat this team. But, Perk, I'm talking about the nature of NBA basketball. Like, the NFL and Major League Baseball have some randomness kind of injected automatically into their product because it's the nature of the sports. Lots of variables on the field, injury, a ref's call here or there. In baseball, you need a lot of games to figure out the good teams from the bad teams, right? But and in March Madness, it's one and done, so a lesser team can win. But the NBA gets it right in terms of finding out who the best is. Best of seven, the nature of basketball is such, you're almost always going to get the best team as the winner. But my point is, in sports sometimes, that's not actually what we want. We want some randomness in there because without it, it gets predictable. So, I love the NBA, but this is predictable and anticlimactic. You're saying that they deserve to be there. They beat, the Bucks. Well, Giannis, without a real star as good as him who can handle the ball, is like AD without LeBron. Tatum is not an MVP player. That's the truth.
Please, do not start making excuses for Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, because all year long, all I've been hearing was that they were the favorites to come out of the East. I think they were the favorites to win the title. They was the most complete team.
Who's the second best player on the Bucks?
Now it got exposed. It's Chris Middleton.
That's the issue. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying don't say it now, because right before the playoffs started, it was Bucks this, Bucks that.
But Perk, you always
see defensive player of the year, and he got exposed.
You always have to refine your opinions based on new evidence, right? Even if the evidence just reminds you of something you may have not been focusing on. What this evidence tells me is if you are a dominant big, to win a championship, you need another dude with you who's not a big, who's just as good as you are. That's the history of the league. Kareem had Magic and Oscar Robertson. Shaq had Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant. Even Penny wasn't quite that, and they didn't win a championship. All the great bigs, and now AD has LeBron. He never made noise in the playoffs before. Now he has LeBron. The Bucks see that need now. Go get a Bradley Beal if you can. Get someone who's better than their second best guy now, who's not a big. That's what got exposed there. What got exposed with the Celtics? That Tatum may be an MVP caliber player one day. He's not quite that yet, right? That's what got exposed with the Celtics.
Max, you arguing me down on First Take about how good of a player Chris Middleton was.
No, I didn't.
And I told you, yes, you did. And I told you that he wasn't that type of guy, right?
Just making stuff up now.
Oh, I'm making stuff up.
I argued for Chris Middleton. No, I said Chris Middleton should be at best the third best player on a championship team. The issue with Middleton is if you're forcing him to put the ball on the floor and get his own shot, that's like if you do that to Golden State and Klay Thompson does it. He can do it because he can play, but that's the outcome you want. You need another dude who can go get his own shot and do it on a higher level than Middleton if you want to pair him with Giannis to win a championship. I never said anything different than that. I wasn't thinking the Bucks were going to win a title this year.
Did you have the Bucks coming out of the East?
Yep. I sure did. Shut up, Perk. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
I'm just saying, Max. I'm just saying, look, what happened is, like you said, it's all about matchups, right?
Right.
Like in boxing, styles make fights. That's what everybody tells me. I'm a big boxing fan. Mm. Styles make fights. Sometimes the better fighter don't win, right? I mean, you take a guy like I'll come back to his name.
Kenny Norton and Muhammad Ali.
No, No. You take a guy like Porter, right? Porter is unorthodox, a rough
Sean
rider
Porter,
in the ring.
Yeah, Sean Porter.
Yeah, Sean Porter. He's just a different Welcome breed him. In the yeah. boxing ring, right? So, I mean, and he tends to make the fight ugly. Like, fighting Sean Porter, you're going to really have to go in there and slug it out because that's what he's going to force you to do. He makes you go outside your comfort zone. Well, this is what's happening right now. Frank Vogel made the Miami Heat go outside their comfort zone.
You could say that, but two MVP caliber players on the same team almost always win the championship. Listen, before I let you go, I want you, I'm going to revive a segment I used to do on Max on Boxing, because I liked it a lot, called Ballers on Brawlers. I want you on that segment. I want you to come and do Max on Boxing, and let's talk some boxing, because I know you like the fight game, and I think you're a TV star. I want you on the show. I'm putting you on the spot right now. Yes or no to Ballers on Brawlers?
Lock me in.
Okay,
Excellent.
So, but what I didn't tell you is signing up for that automatically signs you up to have Granny on the simulcast on the radio show. So thank you for both of those. Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Hey, text LEBITARD to 77333 for a chance at 10 grand plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan LEBITARD Show gang. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See advanceautoparts.com for details. Virtual. Okay, it's better than nothing. I like hanging out with Dan. Dan LEBITARD and I, I met Dan in 2001, 2002. I forgot, but early 2000s, we subbed in for a week during the summer when Tony and Mike were on vacation on PTI. And, LEBITARD's one of those guys, you know, I hear people do radio in different genres, right? It's not just sports. And LEBITARD does my kind of show. I like the kind of show LEBITARD does. And he's a good dude. Let's see. The Max Kellerman Show. I read that already. Oh, yes. Now we're up to actual content. Adam Schefter reports that there were two more positive tests from the Titans, including one player, which led to the NFL postponing Tennessee's game against Pittsburgh. Quote, the decision to postpone the game was made to ensure the health and safety of players, coaches, and game day personnel. End quote, the NFL said in its statement. Quote, the Titans facility will remain closed and the team will continue to have no in-person activities until further notice. End quote. Titans coach Mike Vrabel said Wednesday that some of the players who tested positive were experiencing flu-like symptoms. Well, yeah, I suppose they would. Yes, you know, there are articles about who now has the competitive advantage, who now gets away with not playing with a player who has an injury, and then they'll get that player back whether or not the game is rescheduled, right? Deal with this, everybody. I don't think people are really complaining about it, but it's something we have to deal with. I was talking about this yesterday. The perfect is the enemy of the good, as my father, the shrink, always says. Perfect is the enemy of the good. And by the way, usually this happens in politics, in sports, in life. The defense of the status quo is usually when you suggest making changes, is usually, it's even happening now with the filibuster, right? In the Senate, the defense is usually, well, here's what's wrong if you change things. In other words, it's not perfect if you change things. So you defend a status quo that's even worse than if you changed it, right? At least the change is trying to address what's wrong with the status quo. So they're playing a season. My issue with them even attempting to play in the beginning was tests were not widely available or readily accessible. And given the fact that there was no vaccination, no vaccine, that's just like they figured out a vaccine. Now they have to actually have a vaccination, meaning scale it up so you can get millions of doses out, right? And in the absence of that, all you could do is contact trace. And since it's hard to get your hands on tests at all back then, how do you even do that? And you're taking it away from vital, you know, from people who for whom it's vitally important, those tests. But now with the antigen test, you spit in a thing a couple minutes later, you know whether or not you have it. It's not as accurate as the other test, but the antigen test doesn't give you a false negative, meaning if it says you don't have it, you don't have it. Sometimes it gives you a false positive. Better to be safe than sorry, right? So then the person has to be quarantined. Turns out they take the other test. They don't have it, but okay. So they lost a little time in their lives. You know, they got kind of put out of commission for a day, but that's the price you pay. What's the sacrifice you make in the face of this disease? The NFL has now attempted something very difficult to do. To play a sport whose purpose, at least on the defensive end, is to eliminate social distance. A sport involving a ton of people playing and support staff around them. A sport that almost certainly will be a vector for the disease, meaning it'll spread among these people. But so long as they, even though they're not in a bubble, but if they contact trace among teams and at facilities, then the sport doesn't have to be a vector for the disease societally, meaning it doesn't have to go beyond the NFL much. And in fact, you could even argue they're actually safer in the NFL because there's such rigorous testing than they would be than someone would be in so-called general population, right? And just in society at large. So they're pulling it off so far. And this is predictable. You will have positive tests. You will have postponements of games. You will have, I believe, cancellations of games. I think you will have changing venues in terms of games. I think you'll have an uneven schedule. Some teams will play more than others. This is if they even get through the whole season, which I don't even know if that's a 50-50 proposition. Some teams will get to play in front of some fans. Some teams won't. There will be competitive imbalance as a result of that. Things won't be fair this season. But they'll be as fair, I think it's reasonable to assume, that they'll be as fair as possible. And if the choice is between that and no NFL, I'll take that. Won't you? So no Steelers, Titans for now, and maybe none at all. Maybe they never make up this game. And that's too bad. It's, you know, two powerhouse teams. I want to see how real the Steelers are against a good team. They've had a very soft schedule so far. I want to see what the Titans do against the Steelers, especially after their playoff performances last year. Eventually, you know, they got overcome by the Kansas City Chiefs. Everyone did. But we're not going to get to see that now. You know what we are going to get to see? All the other games. It's pretty good. And even if some of those were, I'll take, like, you know, just think for a second where we were a couple months ago. The federal government's response to COVID was disastrous, the worst in the industrialized first world, so to speak, right? And no one knew anything, and there were no tests available, and there was very little economic activity, and there were no sports. The Michael Jordan documentary was like a live event. We couldn't believe it. Now you have so many sports, you can't even keep up with it all anymore. Things are back to normal, as much as they can be. This is the new normal for now. There's a cancellation. So it sucks. I'd love to see Titans Steelers, but really, in the larger scheme of things, big deal.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Be a part of the Max Kellerman Nation. Not even the Max Kellerman Nation, just Max Kellerman Nation. That's what it says right here. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation. On the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper, which is delicious. It's official. College football's back. And so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
Max.
You know what I love about the intro music now. Is that Jake playing the intro music? You guys have finally caught on. Just play. Oh, it's Chris. Chris, good job. You finally caught on. You just play Wu-Tang. You know, I did a music tournament instead of the instead of the March Madness in New York radio going back 15 years because people weren't following the college tournament so tough because who was good? St. John's? No, right? You know, for Rutgers? No. So we bracketed up, you know, groups. There was the rock and roll bracket, the hip-hop bracket, and we had four brackets all together. And it came down to what I realized doing those brackets is I'd say 50% of my favorite hip-hop is probably Wu-Tang. And 50% of my favorite rock and roll is probably Zeppelin. Those are the two, Wu-Tang and Zeppelin. That's what I like. So since we're playing a lot of hip-hop, you stick to Wu-Tang-y kind of stuff, you're okay with me. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, 888-729-3776. Time to ask Max, that's me. Darren in South Dakota, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What's up?
Hey, I just maybe disagreeing with you on, you know, the time limits or, you know, staying up for a game or something.
All right, wait, Darren, calm down, yep. Take a breath. It's okay. I used to call talk radio when I was a kid, and, you know, your heart would beat fast right before you get on the air and all that stuff. Calm down. It's okay. Now, start again. Don't worry about how that went. Start again and tell me what you want to tell me. What do you disagree with me about?
I would either stay up all night or set my alarm during the World Cup soccer tournament to watch, I don't care if it's Portugal against Russia, 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning. I would do that. You know, if you're a true fan,
that's what I did. That's what I did. I stayed up. Wait a minute, Darren. That's what I did. I stayed up. And by the way, shame on you for watching so much soccer. This is America still, as far as I know. But the point is, I would stay up to watch baseball, a real American sport that no one else likes except for America.
He wants to talk soccer, put him at the front of the line. That was a great caller. Soccer all day. That's right. Oh
expired.
And I know you saw the Champions League draw come out. Nuno and Liam and I were talking about that this morning. Very excited stuff.
I don't even know what language you're speaking right now. I try to watch soccer. My grandfather used to. My Zeta. That's Yiddish for grandfather. Why is the ZipRecruiter job match computer going
trying
off?
Trying to decode what I'm saying.
Because that's all I could hear when he was talking.
Right, exactly. No one knows. So my Zeta, my grandfather used to try to get me to watch soccer. I'd sit there for an hour. It would be a 1-1 tie. No one would win, and nothing would ever happen. Something almost happened. Everyone went crazy, but it didn't happen. And then, you know, we already took soccer and turned it into awesome things like basketball and football. No need for soccer anymore. Brett in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello, Max. Brett,
yes.
Michigan, Traverse City. How are you today?
Good, Brett. What's going on?
Hey, I had one quick question for you. The Browns in Dallas, do they have a shot at winning at all in Dallas?
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. This is news from Max Kellerman Nation. Brett just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line to ask if the Browns have any shot in Dallas. They do. I think Stefanski. I'm reminded that Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics, who's excellent, really like that Stefanski hire for Baker Mayfield. And you can't forget about the Ravens game. Baker Mayfield dealing with his fourth head coach in two seasons and one game. So, you know, regular season games, you're talking about 33 games. And not even, because he didn't start right away. His fourth head coach in, like, not even two seasons worth of games. And with no preseason because of COVID, no fans, all that kind of stuff, is taking on a team that almost never lost last year and got romped. Of course that was going to happen. That's not a reflection on the kind of team that this was going to be this year. The Stefanski hire so far looks promising for Baker. There is a chance the Browns can win that game because they're a very talented team. They just haven't been able to put it together yet. Darren in Brooklyn, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, Max, what's going on? How you doing? Yo, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. Of course, Tennessee caught the COVID, and I wish him well and all of that. With that being said, I think Minnesota might as well just go ahead and put it in the tank this year. You might as well get a quarterback that can sustain a 16-game season with his shoulders upright and be able to really carry a team when all things fall apart.
The only thing I'll say about that, Darren, is I hear what you're saying. The Bears look good now with Nick Foles, too, but let's see if he can hold up. The Packers look really good. The only thing I'll say is the Vikings have a really good team on paper. And the NFL, you can see a team go through a rough patch, usually not 0-3, but go through a rough patch and still wind up a good team, a competitive team. I hear you want a quarterback, but Cam Newton was available in the offseason. Tom Brady was available in the offseason. There are quality quarterbacks available usually every offseason. Teddy Bridgewater, etc. I don't know if I'd tank the season with a good team like the Vikings.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.